Today on this Feast of the Holy Family, I want to talk to you about the battle for the family. We're all part of this battle, whether we like it or not. This battle that's going on right now. And to really understand our own role that we play in this battle for the family, it's very important for us to realize and to reflect on what was the first victory that Satan gained over the family. And we know that was the fall of Adam and Eve, our first parents. That was the first time that Satan achieved a victory over the family, the original sin. So from that day forth, all of us, all of our families, we're all part of a family from Adam and Eve. All of us, we required a redeemer, someone who would be an intermediary between God and man. A family, or a member of the family in heaven, you could say the Holy Trinity, and also a member of an earthly family. An earthly family that would most perfectly show forth the glory of God by overcoming that original sin of pride. This family would completely overcome that by practicing the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. So we see all over the place with this, that constant three, that continuous thing. And it really shows us the family is the image of God in society. That structure, that is the image of God in society. Remember, we're created in the image and likeness of God. So we know the Holy Family, of course, is Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph. And in a way, they reflect, or are, in the case of our Lord, a reflection of the Trinity. So we think of St. Joseph. He's the leader. He's the head of the Holy Family. He's a just man, Sacred Scripture tells us. So in a very limited sense, but in an imagery sense, he is an image of God the Father, is the head of that paternal role. We know Jesus, he doesn't just represent the Son of God. He is the Son of God, and he is that hope of our redemption. So once again, tying along with the three theological virtues as well. He's the perfect image of his Father in heaven. He's sent by the Father, and he allowed himself, he cooperated with that. He willed to die for us. He's the fruit of the family. He willed to sacrifice himself. We think of Mary, our Blessed Mother. She most closely reflects the Holy Ghost. We know that she is the spouse of the Holy Ghost, and because she consented to the will of God, she bore Christ in her womb. She's the Immaculate Conception. She's the perfect woman. That's why our Lord, he refers to her as woman, that title, because she is the most perfect woman. She completely overcame Satan. She completely overcame that pride by her humble submission to the will of God. So she's truly the heart of the family. So we see that the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, St. Joseph, that structure, that family, it's grounded in love. It's grounded in charity. It's the image of God in society. Therefore, it's a reflection of God's love for us. And we know that living according to this structure, living according to the family, that's our ticket to heaven. That's our vocation in this life. All of us are given a specific vocation, a specific role to play in our own family, in the greater picture of the family, which would be the church, the spiritual family, the church. It's a very sublime truth. We're all called to work together towards the same goal of achieving heaven, where we'll be a family in heaven. Everybody has a different role, the different vocations, say for the priesthood. The priesthood in religious life, these vocations, they, in a most perfect way, they reflect the imitation of the Holy Family. The priest has no natural family of his own. His office of father is purely a supernatural one. He's literally married to the church, and from that devotion to that union, fruit comes, just like a natural family. Same thing with religious brothers and sisters. We see the same thing. Brothers have this fraternal support role. Sisters have their support role. It's a motherly role, and it's a very perfect motherly role because they are mother figures to children who are not their own, So once again, it's a purely spiritual vocation in that sense. Now, when it comes to being a natural father or mother, these vocations are not lesser when it comes to importance at all. That would be crazy to say such a thing. They are technically lesser in dignity, but nevertheless, they're not lesser in purpose. Because, of course, all vocations come from good, solid Catholic families. So for fathers, we know that in order to be a successful father, in order to succeed in that role of fatherhood, you must imitate Saint Joseph. You are the provider, you're the head of the family, and your job is not just to provide temporarily and that's it. No, your job is primarily to provide for the spiritual needs of the family, to lead by that example, to lead by that strong example to the family. And we know, according to the very definition of what a father is, a father cannot give that which he does not have himself. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you're not. We think of mothers. Mothers have an incredibly, incredibly important role when it comes to the family. God has given that specific role, that specific dignity to the mothers to form souls for heaven. That's that specific role. Mothers have that ability to soothe the pains of this life, the trials of this life. Mothers have that God-given ability. Mothers have the power in that sense to lead by their continual example, that continual love. And then we see that that is truly what it means to be the heart of the home. Children, young adults, those who are not in any of these vocations yet, those the single, you have to remember obedience is the key to your vocation, just like all the other vocations. Obedience to the priest, obedience to God, parents, obedience to the church, obedient to God, children, obedient to the parents, obedient to the priest, obedient to the church, all that hierarchy of authority, that obedience is the key to your success in your vocations, the key to finding your vocation. You realize that the greatest strength you have comes not from doing your own will, but from doing God's will for you. That's your greatest strength. And it's very important for us to realize all of us have a role in this. All of us have a specific vocation that God wants us to play in this family, the church. Because in our day, today more than ever, the family is the direct target of all the attacks possible of Satan. Just like the very beginning, the first way that Satan overcame our first parents, that same battle will continually be going. It will continually be a battle that needs to be fought until the end of time. Satan continually tempts man more than any other sins. He tempts man towards sins that destroy the family. Satan hates that structure, because that structure is the thing that crushes his head. So he hates it. He attacks it at all possible means, all possible sins and temptation he can possibly throw to us. That's his number one goal. So we have to recognize that. So sins like divorce, remarriage, premarital relations, birth control, sins against nature, role reversals of men and women in society, the rampant and legalized murder of children in their mother's wombs, all these horrible, horrible things, these sins of impurity, these horrible sins, they attack directly the family. It's Satan's number one way to really attack us, attack the family. It's all part of the devil's plan, because the devil knows that in order to destroy the church, in order to achieve that goal, which we know it's not possible to achieve, but in order for that to logically happen, the devil knows he has to attack the family. In order to destroy the church, you have to destroy the family. The devil knows this better than any of us. And that's why we can see the crisis in the church. We can see how these two things are connected. The attack on the family, the attack on the church, they're one and the same battle, really. And I'm sure every single one of us, we can personalize this, we can take this into our own life, we can see how this plays an effect in our own families, our own immediate or extended families, the families of others. We can see how this division, this is the direct attack from Satan. We can see it. In our day, it's the greatest attack, you could say, that Satan has done to the church, is to make the church seem like it has lost that family structure, to make it seem like the church has lost that unity. That's Satan's greatest attack that we have seen so far. That's his greatest plan. The result is a universal loss of the faith. When you attack that structure so much to the point that people forget what it even means to live in a proper and orderly family structure, when you attack that so much and it goes up the ladder all the way to the church level, all those pieces in place, it leads to a great apostasy, or at least a apostasy, or the great apostasy, depending on which way you think about it. And truly, that's the biggest test of our faith in these days, the days in which we live trying to preserve ourselves, preserve our families. That's the greatest test of our faith in these days. Your faith in the words of our Lord, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church." It will not prevail against this family. We know that our first family, they were overcome, but the church will never be overcome. It's impossible, because that family is instituted by God himself. And when you think about the mission of the first apostles, you think when our Lord told them, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That mission in itself, if you could grasp it just at its very basic elements and apply it to the family, what our Lord is saying is he's telling the apostles, he's telling St. Peter, go save the family. Go save that structure which was attacked by Satan. That's your job until the day you die. That is your mission. And our Lord reassures them, I'm with you all days. So we see that matrimony, the family, as the sacrament which propagates and governs the natural family, and holy orders is the sacrament that governs the supernatural family of Christ, the church. So these two things, you have to have both elements. And once again, Satan knows this better than anyone. He knows that in order to destroy the family, you have to destroy the priesthood. You have to destroy that fatherhood. And we know that it's impossible for him to fully achieve that. That's his goal. We know it's impossible for him to fully achieve it. We know that those things, we know that the priesthood, the mass, the sacrament, those things can never be destroyed. It's impossible for those things to be destroyed. But the next logical question in Satan's plan, we could ask ourselves, well, if you can't destroy them, what's the next logical thing he can do or will try to do? And we see this everywhere. We see this black and white in society. Satan will try to change those very things. He will try to alter their meaning so substantially that they become something which they are not. In the modern church, Catholic doesn't even mean Catholic. Priest doesn't even properly mean priest in the theological sense of the term. Pope doesn't even mean pope in the Catholic Church doesn't even mean the Catholic Church. All these things have taken on an anti-Catholic meaning, something radically different. That's all part of Satan's plan against the family. And the reason which we're suffering, this family of ours, the church, is why it's suffering so much, is because we don't have a father at the head. We recognize, as traditional Catholics, that highest office, the father of the universal church, that's the kingpin which holds all the unity of our family, our individual families, and the church. That holds the kingpin of that authority, that structure. So we have to recognize that and pray for the return of that the office of the Holy Father. And likewise, I think it's important for us in our day, we see all this stuff around us, we see it almost constantly, we forget about it, that for us as traditional Catholics, what that means, it doesn't mean that we're just stubborn against change, that we are just holding on to like a pious relic of history. We're just trying to maintain that, hold on to it, remember it, etc. No, we have to realize the church is alive and we're part of the church. We are living members in the church and we have a God-given vocation, a mission given to us individually from Almighty God. So we don't maintain tradition for tradition's sake. No, we maintain tradition because truth itself, the family structure, does not change. But we know and we see all around us the enemies of the church trying to change it. So today, more than ever in the history of the church, our individual families, the church as a whole, our own family here, our own parish here, in union with the other Catholic families, the other churches, we're called to this great mission, a mission given to us directly by Almighty God. And we have to recognize that. We have to raise up soldiers for God's army. We're in a battle. There's two factions. There's those who are with Christ, those who are willing to give everything for Christ, and those who are willing to give everything to battle against Christ. That's a terrifying thought, but that's reality. There's really no in-between. There's no just middle people. You're either in one faction or the other. And the situation in the church, which we find ourselves in, it's a great mystery. It leaves us wondering, how is God going to fix it? How are we going to get a Holy Father to lead the church? How are we going to fix all this problems that we see in the church? It's a great mystery. It's called in Sacred Scripture the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity is working. It's a mystery. We don't understand it. It's evil. It's working. We don't understand it. But that's okay. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to sit there and wonder what's going to be the solution. We just put it in God's hands, and God is going to be the one who fixes it. Because we know our mission. Our mission is very simple. It's not this elaborate thing that we have to really figure out. It's very simple. It's just we lose sight of it very easily because we're limited. Our mission is quite simple. We must be baptized. We must maintain the faith whole and entire. We must avoid sin, especially the sins which destroy the family. And we must live in the state of grace, receiving the sacraments as often as we can. We do that. We fulfill that. Then we are living members in God's supernatural family, the church. So we may find ourselves in this world of mystery all around us. The mystery of iniquity, we see it working. So we may find ourselves in that mystery, but if we do all those things, we will not find ourselves in error. We will not find ourselves in sin. So on this Feast of the Holy Family, let us reflect on all these things. Let us draw a greater meaning from this, apply it to our own life, strive to live our vocation to the best of our ability in union with God's holy will. Let us imitate St. Joseph. Think of St. Joseph this time around the Nativity of our Lord. St. Joseph did not fully understand the mystery of the Incarnation at the very beginning. He was left in a lot of mystery in that. He was beside himself, Sacred Scripture says. He was saying, how is it possible that Mary is with child? But nevertheless, he didn't doubt God. He did not doubt at all. He was left in mystery, but he was fully united to God's will. Whatever that was, he didn't know, but he was united to it. Likewise, we think of Our Lady. That line in Sacred Scripture, let us really reflect on that, especially this time of year. Let us learn from Mary that it's not knowledge, but submission to the will of God, humble obedience, which produces sanctity. When the angel came to her announcing that she would be the mother of God, that she would be the mother of the Messiah, she did not doubt God. Definitely she did not doubt God. But for a brief moment, she was left in mystery. And we see that in Sacred Scripture. She says this, how shall this be done? Because I do not know man. She didn't doubt God. But it was definitely a mystery. So we see the humble obedience to her vocation, humble submission to the will of God, her willingness to sacrifice, her pure love, that was her battle cry. That was the thing, that was the battle cry which restores the Catholic family. That is the thing which overcomes the pride of Satan, the fall of our first parents. That is the key to understanding how we are to save our own families in this battle. If we live Our Lady's battle cry, if we live this every single day, this will be the victory for the Catholic family. This will be the way in which we save our souls, the souls of our families. Her battle cry is very simple, and it goes like this. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, be it done unto me according to thy word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.